This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Welcome to Accelerate Your Business Growth,
where we're exploring all sorts of business topics. Experts from around the world join me, your host, Diane Helbig, for a conversation where they share their expertise with all of you. Take what you need when you need it. Featured on Inc.com, Forbes, and MSNBC's Your Business, this podcast is recognized as one of the best podcasts for small business, sales, leadership, social media, and more. When it comes to business, Accelerate Your Business Growth has got it covered. And now on with the show. My guest today is Rob Levin. Rob is a serial entrepreneur with over 30 years of experience helping small businesses. In 2018, he co-founded Work Better Now, which provides SMBs with Latin American talent. Prior to WBN, Rob founded the New York Enterprise Report, a media company trusted by over 100,000 business executives. Rob's understanding of the small and medium-sized business world drew widespread acclaim and earned him national recognition, including Journalist of the Year by the U.S. Small Business Association. In between, he held different C-level roles in fast-growing businesses. Thanks so much for being here today, Rob.
Thanks for having me.
I'm thrilled to have you here. We're going to be talking about finding good talent, which seems to be more and more difficult every day. But let's do some baseline information first. How is a talent crisis actually defined?
It's a great question. I don't have a definition. But I will tell you this, and I'm sure it's something that you see as well when speaking with clients and other business owners, which is the truth is we've been in one for quite some time, right? What does it mean? It means it's really hard to find great talent. It's hard to retain great talent. And on top of that, and maybe the most important point is productivity in the U.S. workforce, and there's actually data behind this, has been declining, even though we have all of these tech tools. And, you know, think about some of the things that we've heard about in the media over the past few years, quiet quitting. There's this crazy term, which I don't really like, but lazy girl jobs. I'm sure there's lazy guy jobs, too. I don't know why it's lazy girl jobs. I don't like it either. There's a percentage of the workforce that's looking to do the bare minimum. And, you know, I don't think big companies like it either, but in a big company, somebody doing the bare minimum, you know, can it's probably okay. In a small and mid-sized business, you know, anywhere from a couple of employees up to 300-400 employees, you need everybody really engaged in what you do. So this is, when I say that we're in a talent crisis, it's not just me, but many people have been saying this. It's really hard to get talent, productive talent. And it's something that really affects small and mid-sized businesses, not so much large businesses, because what were the headlines last year? Layoffs, layoffs, layoffs. These were layoffs at large companies, not at small and mid-sized businesses. So it's unique to that segment of the market, which is the only market I really care about. And between the data and then what people are seeing on the productivity side, it's really impactful in a not so good way.
Boy, that is for sure. And then you see these reports about how engaged are employees, and it's like, I don't know, 30% are actually actively engaged, which means the rest of them have signed out.
Those are similar stats that I've seen.
Yeah.
That I've seen too.
Yeah. It's crazy. All right. So what do we do? Like, what are the strategies so that we can still prosper during a talent crisis? And you and I are both focusing on small and mid-sized businesses. Yeah,
that's right. Right. So the first thing is to, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go through the different things that somebody can do. And then if you want to double back into the details of any, I'm happy to do that. So the first thing is retain the good talent that you have. And by the way, part of retaining the good talent you have is in, let's just say, helping the not good talent find a better opportunity, a better home.
Yes.
Right. Because your good talent is not going to want to, does not want to work with not good talent.
Right.
So the first step is, what can you do to retain the good talent? Yeah. The next thing to do is to set yourself up to be an attractive employer for future good and great talent. The third step, and these don't, by the way, those first two should be done in order. The next two don't have to be done in order.
Okay.
The next one is, how can you leverage technology, specifically AI and specifically automation? That is something that all small and mid-sized businesses should be doing today. Many, like my company, are. And then the fourth thing is to really consider offshore / nearshore talent. Those are the four things that it's really part of the new talent playbook, if you ask me. Those are the four things that companies should be doing. Happy to drill down on any of those.
Awesome. Okay. So the first one I want to drill down on is setting your company up to be a good employer for future staff.
Yeah.
What does it look like? Like, how do you do that? Or are there certain elements we should be looking at?
Yeah. So there's a number of things. So there's a long-term thing, which I have to mention because it's really important, but it is a long-term thing. It's nothing that you're going to be able to do in a week. Okay.
Yeah.
But if your culture is not strong, really work on it. Really, really work on your culture. Okay. Yeah. And it could be a whole separate podcast on what to do about it. But the thing that I'll say in summary is, have a culture by design and not by default. Right. That's one of the things I'm really most proud about, what myself and my partner and the rest of our leadership team at Work Better Now have done, is from the beginning when my partner and I sat down, of course, in a bar to come up with this business idea. One of the things we said was, you know, at this company, culture is going to really matter and it's going to be what we want it to be. And it's been successful in doing that. And it's never too late to start. So that's that. Now, assuming you have at least a decent culture, and you want to make yourself more attractive, you got to position your company as, you got to make sure you're promoting your positive employer brand. What's an employer brand? Well, what is a brand? A brand is what, when you mention your company to somebody, a brand is what comes to mind, right?
Yeah.
Whether it's good, it's bad, or maybe it's even indifferent.
Yeah.
An employer brand is the same thing, but from the perspective of current and prospective employees. Right? What do they think of your company as a place to work? And so let's assume that you got the culture down, right? Or you got it at least to where it's as good as it's going to be for right now. You got to actually promote that. So, you know, where are people looking for feedback on your company as a place to work? Like, they're looking at Glassdoor. Have you paid attention to this? Have you asked your existing employees to post about their experiences on Glassdoor, hopefully in a positive way? So there's a bunch of other things that I think are somewhat obvious, but maybe not. So, you know, is your compensation competitive? Are you offering career advancement opportunities? Are you offering upskilling and reskilling opportunities? And here's the cool part about that. The pace of change in business continues to accelerate.
Yeah.
Which means your company needs new capabilities every year. You can hire people for those, or you can send your existing people to training to learn those things and bring those capabilities in-house. And then you can tie that in with career advancement opportunities. Okay. And then I think it should be obvious after the pandemic, but you really have to foster a healthy work-life balance. You know, we've been over the past 100 years, the work-life balance has been shifting more to the life size as side, as it should. And that accelerated during COVID, like many other things. And you have to really start to play ball there. And then lastly, on positioning your company, and this, by the way, affects retention as well as your ability to attract. Are you recognizing your people? I got to tell you, we put in something called the W Awards. I think it was last year. And it's been a home run. And it's the coolest thing where, you know, we have 30 people working in the company. And once a week, we have a meeting. And we recognize, you know, people, anybody can put somebody else up for a W Award. And they get recognized. And you should see the look on people's faces. It's so easy to do. These are the things you can do to position yourself as an attractive place to work, both for existing employees as well as future employees.
It's so great. I'm so glad I asked the question because it's not complicated, right? It is a shift because the workplace has shifted, as you said, it's been shifting over the years. And, you know, it's like fighting against the wind. You know, you can't. You give into it, embrace it. I think everyone should be acknowledging their people, but if you haven't done it before, never too late to start. And I love what you said about, you know, having your people learn about the new things that are going on instead of always feeling like you have to hire for it. It's great.
Yeah. Or that you have to figure it out yourself.
Right.
When we get to AI, I'll just tell you what we did here along those lines. And it's pretty cool.
Well, that was my second one because AI especially is something that is just crazy and is scary to some people, you know, foreign to others. Some people embrace it and move forward. So talk some more about that, if you would. That and automation.
Yeah. So I'm gonna lump them together, but they're not the same thing. And while you can use them together, you don't have to. And in many cases, you won't. And in fact, automation might provide more real benefit in the near future than AI. But anyway, so I'm going to start actually a little bit more with AI. So when ChatGPT came out somewhere around a year ago, you know, what we do is we provide talent from Latin America for US-based businesses and many roles, you know, executive assistants, marketing coordinators, blah, 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 blah. So a question people would ask me, oh, is AI going to, you know, decimate your business? I said, no, it's not. It's actually going to be the opposite. Now, what did I mean? What I meant is I knew that down the road, it was very clear to me that down the road, we're going to AI enable our workforce, not just the 30 people that work for us, but the 330 or so as of now that work for our clients. And we've started that process. But what I realized was, well, I realized a few things. Number one, we, the company, WBN, Work Better Now, we need to start embracing AI internally first before we start providing training, right? For all of our professionals that are working for our clients. The other thing I realized was, I'm a pretty smart guy, but you know, I'm probably the oldest person in the company, 2 days older than my partner, and we're older than everybody else. And everybody younger than us is certainly a lot more digitally native, and they're going to figure this stuff out better than we are, right?
Yeah.
So one of the things we did is we said, "Hey guys, AI is going to be a major priority for the company." And I explained really what I just explained to you, maybe with a little bit more detail. And this was almost about a year ago. And I said, guys, I want everybody in the company, all the leaders, and then you can get your people and your departments to do this, start experimenting and document, right? And the leaders started doing that. And so they some things worked, some things didn't. Some things we've already implemented in the business. We implemented in the business in the middle of last year, and they've been paying off big dividends. And then we got the rest of the company involved. And it's amazing. We then we We then started doing AI show and tell once a month. And it's amazing what people have come up with. And the point of all of this is, you know, you have to say like, hey, we're going to embrace AI, because if you ask somebody like Peter Diamantis, certainly a futurist and an incredible entrepreneur, you know, what AI, how AI is going to impact companies, he said there's going to be two kinds of companies in 2030, those that are that have embraced AI and those that are out of business.
Yeah.
Whether it's 2030 or 2035, I don't know, but it's going to happen.
Yeah.
So you got to realize this as a business owner, and also realize, you know, using the who, not how principle of Dan Sullivan from Strategic Coach, it doesn't have to be you that figures all this out. Let your team play. Let them figure it out. Let them test things. Let them fail. Let them see what works. Give them some guidelines, and you can get some guidelines to make sure you're not infringing on copyright, or that you're not uploading confidential data in a public environment, right? Because one of the things AI can do is not only create things, it can analyze it can analyze your data, which we've done, and it's been very helpful in terms of analyzing our recruiting data. But the point is get your team involved in this, make it fun, and you'll be surprised what they come back with.
That I love that. I mean, I'm an early adopter anyway, so I find these things fascinating. But I think that is really helpful for a lot of listeners for so many reasons. But I really like that you addressed it doesn't have to be you, because a lot of small business owners think it does, that you know, that for whatever reason, they're the ones who have to figure everything out, and they feel like they don't have time to focus on other things.
You know, that gets into a longer discussion that I think goes beyond the topic today, which is, you know, again, this who, not how idea. Mm-hmm. And those business owners that feel like they need to do everything themselves always ask themselves, why can't I grow? Well, that's why.
Yeah.
You're in the way.
Yep. Yep. Exactly.
I you know, having been an entrepreneur now for the past 20 plus years, I can tell you that once I started to let go, that's when the growth started happening.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's, you know, when we talked before about culture, I mean, that's what your people want. They want to be able to contribute to that degree and feel like they are really contributing to something that is meaningful and valuable. And so why not let them?
Everybody wins.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Now, speaking of everybody winning, so now let's talk about the, you know, this offshore, new shore talent. Why? Well, it's not even why. Well, maybe I should ask that. Maybe the listeners don't necessarily get it. But how should someone begin thinking about hiring overseas talent? Because it scares some people.
Yeah, like AI. Totally understandable. In fact, I started this business with my partner in 2018. In 2019, I called a friend of mine. I'm actually mentioned his name. His name is Larry Zogby, RDS Delivery Services in Manhattan. Known Larry for 20 years. He was a client at my last company. And I told him what I was up to with this company. And this was in 2019. He said, nope, not interested. Yeah, thanks. What else is going on? And I said, all right, no problem. And then the pandemic hits and his workforce has to work remotely. Everybody was coming to the office every day. And he said, hey, can we talk? And he hired somebody. And he now, by the way, not only has, I think, 9 of our professionals working for him, but he's referred about 30 or 40 companies to us. Okay. So he's literally become our number one advocate. And he had the same concern too. And now, like I said, he's just a huge advocate, not only of us, but of particularly of talent in Latin America, which is where all of the talent we're providing him comes from. So the first thing you have to do is realize and accept a few things, right? Number one, it's what we talked about at the beginning of this conversation,
yeah.
Right? What we talked about was we're in a talent crisis here, right? It's hard to find people who have great abilities,
yeah,
and that are going to be vested in your success, not just showing up for a paycheck, okay? So accept it. It's not changing anytime soon. And there's a lot of data and demographics and all of that behind that. Then you have to realize, well, okay, obviously if people are working from overseas, they're working remotely. Well, you know, we've kind of crossed, most companies crossed that big bridge over the pandemic, right?
Sure.
We've learned to work remotely. And, you know, there are some best practices in working remotely, and I can come back to those if you'd like in a little bit. So then, it's learning something new, which is, hey, by the way, there is amazing talent around the globe. And, you know, you have certain roles that you need really great English proficiency and you should separate between verbal and written. Some roles, maybe you don't need it.
Mm.
But there's people with great English proficiency or good English proficiency, depending on what you need. And they, like I said, they bring not only great experience, but amazing attitudes and an owner's mentality. And then at some point you have to say, you know what, I'm going to try this because either I'm going to develop this competitive advantage of hiring overseas talent because I'm going to get great people. And of course, because the cost of living is lower, they're going to be less expensive than those in the United States. Not to mention, you're not going to have to deal, with the same kind of benefits. And of course, all the HR regulation at the federal, state, and sometimes city level. And then give it a shot. Because I can tell you, you're not going to be the first to the party. There are, of course, large companies have been doing this for years. And now you're seeing, and all you have to do is look in the Wall Street Journal and other business publications. Small and mid-sized businesses are doing this now at an increasing rate. And then you have a couple of choices. You can either go ahead and try to hire on your own. And I know some small and mid-sized businesses that have done that successfully. Of course, it's difficult, right? You're not only hiring, which is one of the things that small and mid-sized businesses hate to do and do not do well typically. Now it's a little bit more challenging. Of course, then there's obviously all the red tape and stuff like that. Or you can work with companies like Work Better Now, a talent partner that will actually make it easier for you to hire somebody overseas than it is to hire somebody in the States. So those, and then you just get started, and you'll figure out pretty quickly if it's something that's right for you or not. It turns out it's right for most companies, but not all. Some companies just can't let go. They can't work in a remote environment. But what you realize is hiring somebody overseas, depending on time zone alignment, is much like hiring any other remote professional.
Is time zone alignment one of the reasons why you say Latin America?
Well, for us it is, but because time zone alignment was important for us in terms of our offering.
Okay.
And number one, we wanted people to work at the same time, not, you know, one person's working while one's sleeping. And we just from a health perspective, we don't believe in people working in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
Although when it has to happen, it has to happen. Of course, there are situations like that. But for us, it was very important. You know, so we chose Latin America, not only for the time zone alignment, but the attitude, the work ethic, the work experience, and the English proficiency and the cultural similarities. But like I said, I have friends that are doing really well with hiring people in the Philippines. So there are other options available too.
Yeah, I've actually interviewed people about the Philippines. That was one of the reasons I asked. Thank you for answering that, because I think the Philippines is the one you hear the most of. But I didn't know if there were real significant differences between the two.
There are and there aren't. I'm going to tell you, it's somewhat, in addition to time zone and culture, what it's going to come down to is not so much those regional differences. It's going to come down to who your talent partner is. There are companies that do, you know, similar things like we do, providing off or nearshore talent, that, you know, for them it's a numbers game. And then there's ones that are more like us. Fortunately or unfortunately, not many like us, that every single professional that we provide is it's part of who we are, and we want to nail it every single time. And you know, I don't want to bore you with the details, but you know, we only accept the top 1.5% of the people who apply to work with our clients and things like that. There are questions you can ask these talent providers that you look to work with if you decide to go that route, such as you know, what is your screening process like? How do you evaluate worker skills? How do you gauge personality and attitude alignment with your culture? How many times has somebody been interviewed before you're going to interview? What's the matching process like? How do you evaluate their English proficiencies, things like that? And then you'll start to find whether or not that partner is aligned with the way you want to work.
Yeah, that is a great point. Okay. That's really valuable. How do I want to ask this question? Well, the question is, really, are there certain roles that are best to hire abroad? Because at the beginning of this conversation, you were saying, you know, it's everything from, you know, clerical to, it was like, you know, marketing directors, I think is.
Marketing coordinators.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty broad range.
Yeah, it's a great question. So I have two different answers for it, if you will. I could tell you just what our experience is. And okay. We're providing 40 to 50 different roles, anything from executive assistants, quality control, managers, bookkeeping coordinators, customer service reps. But then there are many roles that we don't provide, but other companies do, which is software developers. I've met some people who provide accountants. Particularly from South Africa and India.
Wow, really?
Because there's a big shortage of people in the accounting and bookkeeping world in the United States. And of course, you know, there are companies that you can outsource to when you need a lot of people to do customer service and things like that. But, you know, I don't want to say there's no limit to what you can hire. What roles are that you can hire offshore. But there are plenty, let's put it that way, that you can hire offshore.
Okay. Now, talk to me about like the tools that people should be thinking about incorporating into their business or using so that they are maximizing working with a remote team.
Yeah. So are you asking about tech tools or are you asking about tools in general?
Let's do both.
Okay. So tech tools really comes down to anything, all the tools you would use for any other remote employee. But for maybe some people that are listening don't have anybody working remotely yet. So number one, you have access. You need to provide access to data and in a secure way. You should have your IT professional be involved if you haven't had remote people working remotely in the past, so you have the right protocols. But what we're really talking about is having your data in the cloud, which I think most companies have come around to these days, right? Whether it's using something like Dropbox or Office 365 or the Google Suite. And then, of course, similar to what I just mentioned, you also want those collaborative productivity tools, like, again, Office 365 and Google Suite. And by the way, using Office 365 the right way, which means you're not emailing files back and forth anymore, right? You're emailing links now so that you have one set of documents and not two. Yeah. And then as I kind of alluded to, you want to have the right security protocols, and your IT professional can help you with that. It's not very complicated these days. So on the technology side, you know, it's, again, same stuff for remote, and it's stuff that most companies are doing these days anyway. And then when you look outside of tech, and again, this is really applies to anybody working remotely. You want to be you want to you want to make sure you're being extra clear. There's a really good sense of clarity about things like working hours, responsibilities. And when I say responsibilities, I'll also merge that in with defining what success looks like. So if I was to hire somebody from overseas for a particular role, and this again goes for any other employee, particularly any other remote employee, but if, you know, let's say I was hiring you, Diane, when you're working really well at Work Better Now, this is what it looks like. It means that I'm not getting things that have spelling mistakes, and I'm getting things on time, and you know, you're asking in advance if there's clarity. You're defining success. And then you're also outlining the communication standards. How do we communicate in a remote environment? Are we using Slack? Are we using Teams? Are we picking up the phone, right? We all have phones now as part of our computers. Are we doing it on video? Are we doing it on email? When are we using each one, right? When do we not use each one? So again, first being clear on clarity, if you will. And then kind of as I started talking about, how are we communicating? You know, when are we using video over voice? You do have to remember that there's no water cooler, so you have to incorporate that. Going back to what we said earlier, we want to make sure we're highlighting the successes of the remote team members so that they feel like a part of the company and nobody's forgetting about them. And then whenever we can, we're fostering informal connections. This could even be something like, you know, virtual happy hours and stuff like that. These are some of the things that the tools, if you will, to have a successful remote environment.
Okay. This may sound like an obvious, or a stupid question, whatever, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Are these people actually, like if I do this, are these people my employees or are they outsourced, you know, 1099s?
Yeah, great question. And the answer is it depends. Are you hiring them directly? Are you going to go and look for your own person or use a firm that will actually do the recruiting for you, much like a recruiter in the States will, and then you're going to hire them directly? Which has its challenges, but I know some people that are doing it. Or you're going to work with a talent partner. If you're hiring them directly, then they're on your payroll. Of course, it's not U.S. payroll, right? It's your payroll, but it's foreign payroll. Or if you work with a talent provider, like a company like Work Better Now, then you're paying us by credit card and you're issuing us a 1099. And we deal with the talent.
Okay. Wow. Well, see, I'm glad I asked the question because...
Me too.
Yeah. This is such great information. I really appreciate it. I feel like I'm more clear. And you gave such great actionable advice around the things that these business owners can be doing to really set themselves up for success in this new environment and overcome the talent crisis that we seem to have in this country. So Rob, thank you so much for joining me today.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for having me, Diane. It was a lot of fun discussing this with you.
Absolutely. Will you tell the listeners how they can find you, please?
Yeah, you can find me on LinkedIn personally, Robert Levin. Just type in Robert Levin, Work Better Now. And then the company is workbetternow.com.
Excellent. Thank you. And listeners, thank you. You are who we're doing this for. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Accelerate Your Business Growth, a production of Evergreen Podcasts. Discover more episodes of this podcast and explore others at evergreenpodcast.com. As always, continue to prosper and be curious. And if you're looking to get your sales strategy headed in the right direction, pick up a copy of Succeed Without Selling on Amazon or wherever books are sold. Until we meet again on another episode of Accelerate Your Business Growth, goodbye and good day.
Do you love news about LinkedIn, Indeed, Google, and just about every other recruitment tech company out there?
Hell yeah. I'm Chad.
I'm Cheese.
We're the Chad and Cheese Podcast.
All the latest recruiting news and insights are on our show.
Dripping in snark and attitude.
Subscribe today wherever you listen to your podcasts.
We out.